Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And you would be listening to Michael Sterling. That's who I am. I think I am today.
That deep voice man just said my name, too, which I like. So.
Yeah.
Andrew David James.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to have him follow me around. I like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Every time we walk in somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we get announced that way, like they used to do in Victorian England? Andrew David James and Michael Sterling.
I think we could.
I don't think anybody would announce us. What do you think? Those two bums are here again.
What do you think of this day today? It's going to be 88 degrees if it's not already.
I think I will take that.
Beautiful, beautiful, sunny, clear in Southern California.
Yeah, Sherman Oaks is certainly a beautiful park today, and it's interesting to drive in across that freeway and then turn off and sit and go, oh, I'd like to get four stories up and away from all this traffic. So
exactly.
It's nice to be in studio.
Exactly. Well, you come from Malibu.
That's right.
And your fashionable home there.
my palatial estate of two bedrooms.
It's right. Okay. It's still a Malibu address.
You know, we love it. But it does make going out of Malibu hard. You realize Malibu was built like a cult. Everybody comes into Malibu and just stays because they never want to go any direction to get out of there.
But it's their choice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, in some cases. Otherwise, it's just they don't want to deal with traffic on PCH.
Yeah, so. I would not blame them.
That's right.
But it's a beautiful place to be once you're there.
No doubt. No doubt. Shall we thank some sponsors,
Michael?
I think so.
Let's do that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed, Andrew. And on this, our 44th edition of State of the Arts since the beginning of the year, we're thrilled to have with us two of LA's finest actors.
Wow. There's no doubt about that, Michael. We have Abby Craden here today from Tom Stoppard's meticulously and beautifully crafted masterwork, Arcadia, now on stage at Pasadena's A Noise Within Theater Company. She's here. Please welcome Abby.
Hello, Abby. Thank you.
Also in studio with us today is the well-credited film, TV, and stage actor Gregory Thirlaway from A Time to Kill at North Hollywood's Theater 68. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here.
A couple of great guests.
Yeah,
but before we get started on that, Michael, let's talk to each other and maybe get a little of this meticulous week I had out of the way. I'm dying to tell you about a couple of things I had happen. But how was your week, first of all?
Oh, you're going to put me on the burner here?
Inquiring minds want to know, Michael.
Well, we both went to a play last weekend.
Right. We got to spend time together as opposed to going
in different directions.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was the opening of Funny Girl at the Colony Theater, which sadly is now a lease house. It is not. The company has left the building. And though Barbara Beck, who was their artistic director, is still there. I think she's there because she needs to be there, and so she's helping in the transition. You know, it's a city-owned building, and anything and everything is coming in there. So we went to see a very earnest production of Funny Girl.
Our good friend Jackie Brenneman was in there.
Yes, Jackie Brenneman, who played Fanny Bryce, and did a very made an interesting choice because she talked on this program about very much how important it was to her to stay away from Barbara Streisand's performance, which is very hard to do considering the fact that the woman did it on Broadway and then did it in the movie. And that's what people think of when you hear Funny Girl, right? And she certainly did that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some great support. And I think it was a Conundrum Theater Company is the group that put that on. And it was a valiant effort, I think, right?
I tell you, I have such a soft spot in my heart for the Colony. It was my first professional job here.
That's right.
I guess 20 years ago now. I slept on the equity cot. I was, the only non-equity member of the cast, and the great David Rose was very kind to me there. And it was interesting to walk back in there and see what a beautiful house that can be. When it's properly funded and that sort of thing. And I'd like to see that happen more again. When you look at productions that come in, it's almost never easy to do. You never walk into a space and say, hey, this feels like home. You have to make it your home.
Exactly.
And so I think the Colony is one of those great spaces that can do some great, great things. Again, I just hope theater companies go out there and lease it and you know, do some of those little things that will really make that theater special again.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, I will be taking it over for about 6 weeks for the 11th edition of LA's Next Great Stage Time.
That's right.
Imagine, 11 years we've been doing this musical theater competition here in Los Angeles, which has become incredibly popular.
You didn't know you had your own fans
here,
Michael.
Raving. 18 of our kids have already made their Broadway debuts.
Wow.
And this is throughout the past 11 years. And some of them are on their third and fourth Broadway shows. I see them now on Facebook posting pictures with Stephen Schwartz. And, you know, they're at a gala or they're on the red carpet. And
it's
amazing. So I'm looking forward to working with them over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just spent the week really in contractual matters with Princess Cruises.
Will they be sponsoring the show again?
Great.
Yes, fantastic.
For the second year.
Fantastic.
And this year they doubled their investment in
it.
So that's pretty sweet.
Well, you know, I had the pleasure of seeing that last year, and some of those performers you could easily pluck off that stage and drop them in a Broadway show, and they would be right at home. So you get some great talent there for stage
show. Thank you. Considering that some of the age range to be in the competition is between 18 and 32. So the younger they are, the less jaded they are.
Yeah.
And they all figure it out after 6 weeks. But it's funny because, you know, they all have a great education or have studied by the time they come to us, but they have never learned what it is like to be out in the real world auditioning for anybody. You know, they're from SC or they're from Cal State Northridge or UCLA, and they kind of finish that get the graduation day and say, now what?
Yeah.
And this is kind of the preparation of pushing them out the door. But it's intense. It's a boot camp, as you know. You saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really how I spent my
And that'll be at the Colony this year?
It will.
For this performance?
Well,
that comes up in January, is that correct?
January 8th through the 19th of February.
Beginning part of 2017.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic
Just once a
space
week.
For it.
Once a week.
Great.
Yeah.
Will it be on air? Last year, I believe you had it on
air
for a while,
Yes, it will
too.
Be on air again.
That's fantastic. We'll check out LA's Next Great Stage Star, because that is a fun event coming up. But more than that, some of those performers, I mean, they leap straight into careers after that. So if you're a young performer looking to get started, I would definitely check out LA Stage Star.
Well, not only on Broadway, as I mentioned, but also in regional theater across the country and aboard some of the world's greatest cruise lines, and in Vegas and all sorts of places that hosts any sort of musical theater. So
yeah, and Princess has done such a good job with getting some of the best performers on their ships too.
Yes, they have.
Lots of jobs out there.
They've become a very elegant line, by the way.
That's right.
It's different from what they used to be.
Well, and we got some interesting, speaking of great performers this week, the Ovation Award nominations were released, correct?
Yes, yesterday.
We had a number of friends of the show who were nominated this year, which is always good news.
And you want to say something?
Well, Mark Ginsberg, of course,
yes.
I saw on the list. And wasn't Justin Michael Wilcox on there as well?
He was.
Two of our favorites.
And Lee Wakeford, all from the same show at La Mirada, and the Performing Arts Center there, which is under the guidance of Kathy Rigby and her husband, Tom McCoy. And that was for First Date, which is a Broadway show that was not terribly successful on Broadway, but
it was
revived.
Yeah, I thought
it was a fun show.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I heard. I didn't get to see that, but I'm so happy for Mark. And you know what? You would think that, you know, they all know that this is coming out. And I got it very early in the morning from the publicity people. Excuse me. And I texted Mark, and I said, buddy, hey, congratulations on your nomination.
Yeah.
And about 2 hours went by, and he texted me back. He said, what are you talking about? I said, dude, you were nominated.
You know why, right?
He said, this is the first time I've heard about
it. He's got a little boy at home who's under a year old. That boy ain't seeing anything going on for about 4 hours in that morning while they wake up. So.
Probably so.
I remember that whole time when the kids are young is just like a blur. So
the, there's a page in here on this. I just want to go through this. Here is how the standings are for the most nominees in this year's awards program, which is coming up, and it will be at the Los Angeles Music Center as it was last year. The La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, 22 nominations.
Wow.
That's amazing.
The Center Theater Group, 20. The Geffen Playhouse, 16. Celebration Theater, 16. The Theater at Boston Court, 11. Los Angeles LGBT Center, 10. And then it goes down from there. to the Rubicon. There's a Critical Mass Performance Group, had 7 nominations, Rubicon Theater Company 6, and it goes down into the 4s. And with the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts, mm-hmm. rather new in the game of theater there, but they garnered 2 nominations. And Will Geer's Theatricum Britannicum was nominated again for just 1, but mm-hmm. it must have been something pretty great.
And, of course, our friends at Cabrillo got 2 nominations, I believe, as
yes.
well, as did the Falcon Theater. I believe they got 3. Mm-hmm. Even the Getty Villa produced a very interesting show this year and got a nomination. So they really did stretch out to all areas of Los Angeles
Which
and
is
see
good.
Some great theater.
Yes,
yeah.
It is great. It's great. Yeah. It's nice to see, and as much as I appreciate the Center Theater Group, it's nice to see them not sitting in front again.
Well, and that's hard because of their resources and their artistic abilities. And, of course, everything they do there is so quality, but it's nice to see the ovations recognized. Some people outside of those mm-hmm. Of those traditional groups who always do such great works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool.
So, shall we get down to business here?
Bring in maybe this lovely lady sitting next to me. How does
yes.
that sound?
That sounds
Our
funny.
First guest is currently on the boards in the critically acclaimed production of Tom Stoppard's play Arcadia, which its director, Geoff Elliott, says illustrates the intersection between science and art.
That's
on
Jeff.
Stage. Is it? It's not Geoff?
No, it's Jeff.
Jeff, interesting. Okay, you know, it's interesting.
What is Geoff in some circles?
I guess. Well, yeah. Whenever I see that, I was thinking Geoffrey Rush.
It's just spelled Geoff, but
right?
Jeff.
But Geoffrey Rush is notorious for pronouncing it different ways himself. Sometimes it's Geoffrey Rush, sometimes it's Jeffrey Rush, and nobody ever knows exactly what he's going to say.
Depends on his mood.
I always thought that was interesting. So, on stage through November 20th at Pasadena's A Noise Within Theater Rep Company, she brings with her a wealth of theater credits, including The Mother in 6 Characters in Search of an Author. Olivia in Twelfth Nights, Elvira in Blithe Spirit, Lady Capulet in Romeo and Juliet, Charlotte in Don Juan, and we're just scratching the surface there, ladies and gentlemen. Film and television credits include the Emmy award-winning documentary Bloody Thursday, After Midnight, and The Smell of Water, and her voice can also be heard on numerous games, commercials, animations, and in over 200 audiobooks. Please welcome the lovely and talented Miss Abby Craydon.
Hello.
Hello, Abby.
Hello.
So good to see you today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
What
thank
a
you
list
for having
of credits
me.
You have.
Oh, thank
wow.
you.
Wow. And anybody that makes it in the field of voiceover, I have great respect for, because
yes.
it is a very hard nut to crack, isn't it?
It is.
How did it happen for you?
You know, I think it was just perseverance.
Yeah.
I think I just kept at it for a long time. And, you know, the audiobook world has been a really good resource for actors. It's become such a big mm-hmm. Pool of work, and they love theater actors because we know how mm-hmm. to interpret dialogue and text, and we love storytelling, so it's been a really great thing.
And we pronunciate things exactly right.
That's right. We're good with enunciation. We have good enunciation. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, good for you. I hope
you
have many years of doing that, because
Thank
everybody
you.
Who I know that does it is now, you know, at the level where they've got the studio in the house.
Yeah. Yes, everybody's got
the
studio.
Be it in a closet or wherever.
That's
yeah.
true.
They're able to, you know, do things in their pajamas
yes.
and make money.
Yeah.
So that's really yep. good.
You know, I had a rare opportunity to come out and visit A Noise Within for The Imaginary Invalid, which mm-hmm. I thought was just really an interesting production to watch. They had some
yeah.
amazing talents on stage there. And the thing that always impresses me the most is that classic theater can be done so poorly in so many places, and A Noise Within treats it as if it was meant to be seen today. They don't, dumb anything down or cheapen it. They mm-hmm. always give it the full production that mm-hmm. it deserves. And Imaginary Invalid, of course, Molière, for
yeah.
so many years, made people literally roll in the aisles. I mean,
yes.
was the funniest playwright of his day. And I think you saw a lot of that brought back in that mm-hmm. the characters are mm-hmm. universal. They are so true and always remain that way. So A Noise Within gives you a remarkably comfortable setting to see a play,
mm-hmm.
but also a play you're not going to see very many other places. So I loved that.
Yeah, they're truly devoted to great theater
mm-hmm.
and passionate about it, about bringing the stories to life. So.
I think that's definitely yeah. true. You've been with them for how long, Abby?
17 years now.
Wow.
Yes.
So you are a resident artist.
I am a resident artist with them, yeah.
And how many... Does the company only allow their own members to participate?
No.
They have guest members.
They have guest members,
That's
yes,
weird,
every season.
I stood up in the audience and started giving a monologue, and they asked me to sit down. I thought that was a little out of line. But.
Yeah. Well, you know. But they like to use the pool of resident artists because we love working with each other. We've had long-term relationships,
yeah.
and oftentimes people in multiple shows, and it's a really a great shorthand to doing theater when you've worked with people over many years.
You know, it's interesting when you look around at that audience, you saw people from school-age students all the way up to veteran theatergoers in their 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. but it really did span the generations. And to do that, especially mm-hmm. with the pieces that Noise Within promotes, is you have to do them very, very well. You have to give it everything you have there.
Yes. So.
Well, you know, I think the city of Pasadena is very, very supportive of the arts, mm-hmm. you know, for being so close here to Los Angeles, but they do have their own venues, of course, the Pasadena Playhouse and Noise Within, mm-hmm. and also the... what's that other lovely theater?
Boston Court.
Yes,
is
Boston
there too?
Court. Mm-hmm. Yes, and everybody does great work out there.
So. Yeah. Of course. Yep.
And it's, you know, I feel every time I go out there, I feel like I'm in another state or something. It just doesn't feel like Los Angeles.
That's funny.
It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. Well, Sierra Madre, I love hanging out there.
It's a historic city. It has amazing things going on in it. And it's interesting when you look at Pasadena, its history. I believe it started as a tuberculosis colony.
Really?
Yeah, and years and years and years ago because of the climate. So people could go there and handle tuberculosis. And then they also, because they couldn't run around, you don't do a whole lot of jogging with tuberculosis apparently, they would paint and they would draw and they would write. So it became an artist colony in a lot of ways. And still, I mean, even to this day, right above the Rose Bowl, there's hundreds of houses owned by the great artist when California was just a burgeoning state. So,
and it's got so many really nice local attractions.
Very much
other than the Rose Parade, which happens once a year. But if you haven't seen it in person, have you?
Yes.
Beautiful. I haven't.
Yeah. You have not?
I have not.
Really?
Yes. I have to get out there and do it.
You know what they say? I mean, I went once, but I was young and stupid and sleeping on the sidewalk with my buddies and, you know, being walked on by people through the middle of the night. That was my one and only time. But the one thing that I distinctly remember is the smell of the flowers because it is so dense.
Aromatic.
It permeates the air. It is so beautiful. And then, you know, they have the, if you don't go or see it on television, you can go out after the parade and see if, I think for 5 days, they have the floats on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But if they're not there, then surely they're out of Noise with it.
That's so. Right. Same classical theater. Yes.
And let's talk about some of the other shows that they're doing.
Yeah, they're doing The Maids, which is closing, I believe, this coming weekend. Arcadia, which I'm in. Imaginary Invalid. And then Christmas Carol is coming up all through December.
Oh,
it's
it
a
is.
Wonderful production. Yeah, and then a whole spring season is coming up, too. So
that's exciting. Everybody's doing their stuff. Is there something different about this Christmas Carol that you're aware of this year?
You know, it's their own adaptation, but this is the fifth year of it. It's very popular. It's a real family favorite, so people come out and see it.
I kind of feel like if that's another thing. If you don't see that at Christmas, it's kind of maybe robbing you a little
bit.
I agree. Especially if you have children.
Mm-hmm. It's a part of the tradition.
And you do it every Christmas.
I do. I'm playing Bob Cratchit at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza again this year. I started as Young Ebenezer.
Which explains your hair.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's very true. Yes. My poor, pathetic attempt at a sideburns. I rubbed the Chia Pet Grow on my sideburns to desperately try to get that Dickensian feel. But it's interesting, too, because Christmas Carol, I very much feel that way about. Without a version of Christmas Carol, it doesn't feel like Christmas to me.
Yes.
So a fun holiday story. Now, we're, of course, talking to the beautiful Abby Craydon today from Arcadia, one of Tom Stoppard's masterworks.
Yes.
Really a beautiful piece at the amazing Noise Within Theater. And that runs through November 20th. Is that correct?
It does.
Now, tell me a little bit about the character that you play. For those who don't know Arcadia, it really was a definitive work in that it's almost a movie on stage. It has very cinematic qualities, doesn't it?
Yes, it crosses time periods between the 1809 time period, and we put it in the present. And my character is in that time period. It's a masterpiece. It's like, I feel like it's like being in a Renoir or something.
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant play. It's so challenging and gorgeous, the language and just his structure of it. I mean, I think it's about passion and life, and then he puts in the chaos theory of mathematics. The whole play is structured like a math problem.
Yeah.
And at the end, the two time periods are walking across each other, all in the same hall, in the same home that existed years in 1809 and the present day. It's the same family that's kind of crossed over the generations.
Yeah.
And my character, Lady Croom, is sort of the lady of the house. You know, and her story is her garden is being trashed, you know, in her mind, from the classical to the romantic time period. But it really is a metaphor for everything that's going on in her life. And it's really a play about passion, I find, from my point of view. It's very intellectual, but it's also about passion and about, you know, control and lack of control and, you know, and life and surprise and not knowing how to what's happening. And that math and science is trying to give us answers, but we know nothing.
And really a search for meaning.
And a search for meaning.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yep.
Well, it certainly has had amazing reviews from New York and what you're doing here.
Yeah, we're Critics' Choice in the Times, and it's a very well-received play. Yeah, it's a beautiful play.
Both of you are in the Los Angeles Times. Yeah. You got your photo in
there. I got my picture in the Times.
You were very modest about it,
Dave. I haven't seen it. Several people told me. They said, you're in the Times. And I said, oh, that's great.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good photo.
We subscribe Thursday through Sunday, so it came out yesterday.
Perfect. So let's tell people how they can go see this beautiful
show.
Again, of course, as Andrew said, Tom Stoppard's Arcadia, directed by Jeff Elliott at A Noise Within, and that is at 3352 East Foothill Boulevard in Pasadena. And performances are currently on through November 20th, and those performances would be, Thursday through...
It's a rep schedule, so it's a little all over the place.
Right.
They just have to go look on the website.
Yeah, that would be the best thing. That
website is www.anoisewithin.org. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I think the easiest way to call for tickets, too, is 626-356-3100. That's 626-356-3100. This show is a remarkable show. There's no doubt about it. You want to get out and see it.
You know, and the beauty of this is the tickets are so affordable, from $20 up to just $44 for single tickets. And there are, I'm sure, are group rates that would be offered. You just have to check with the box office on that. Make it a point of seeing something like this. As Andrew said, this theater company does it the way it is meant to be seen.
Yeah.
And not everybody, we can't say that about everybody. Sometimes.
Well, and I think, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of listeners who listen to this show, and so many of them come out to see the big parts of California. They'll go visit Disneyland or they'll go visit the Rose Bowl and that sort of thing. Take a chance and go see The Noise Within. You park in this parking garage and then you walk through the back doors, or you can, of course, park on the street as well. But parking is free. There's tons of good things to do around there. There's food. There's shopping. You go in and you sit and you see a really well-done production of classical theater. And not only that, but this piece particularly seems to fit so well with this time of year for me. It's magical, it's fun, and it truly does reach across the bounds. I know there's a character that I believe is 13 years old. Is that correct?
Yes, my daughter. She becomes 17, so you kind
of
mark the time. Thomasina.
Thomasina,
and she's
of
a brilliant girl, you know, ahead of her time, and she's a genius, actually.
Every time the show's produced, the lines are out the door with girls wanting to play that part. It's truly a dream role for every young actress.
Yeah,
and it's funny when you see, you know, what Tom Stoppard did with that, and that he put children on stage in a way that was so deep and so meaningful, and really comments on what it must have been like to be a child in a really difficult time.
Right.
And yet you leave with such a feeling of just awestruck hopefulness from this show. And I really love what Tom Stoppard
did. He's also really a feminist. I feel like he's really talking about,
interesting,
really powerful women in it. So
yeah, that's very true.
Well, and the season coming up is pretty interesting, too. Shakespeare's King Lear, which will be done in February 12th through May 6th. Our Wilderness. Gosh, I've never seen that show, by Eugene O'Neill, March 5th through May 20th. The Man of La Mancha by Dale Wasserman, and music by Mitch Lee and lyrics by Joe Darion, March 26th through May 21st. Mm-hmm. And that rounds out their season for what's coming up here. And it's such a sweet area, as I said. Love Pasadena.
I tell you, you won't be disappointed as far as your comfort in viewing a play there. If you're looking for a really comfortable place to go sit and see great theater, I think A Noise Within is a great example of that there in Pasadena.
I agree.
Abby, will you hang around with us for a little bit while we talk a little more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. Abby, thank you for joining us here today.
Audience.
They love her.
I know.
You were doing all the clapping, weren't you,
Greg? She's so pretty.
And she's pretty, too.
We don't usually have to do that on the radio, but today we have two beautiful guests, so that's a nice thing. So.
Yes. All right.
Shall we do a live arts calendar, Michael?
Yes.
Good.
La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts and McCoy Rigby Entertainment are delighted to present the second show of its 2016-2017 season. Broadway's Davis Gaines stars in the hilarious comedy Lend Me a Tenor, written by Ken Ludwig and directed by Art Mankey. Love a madcap screwball farce set in the glorious 30s? Well, who doesn't? Cue the belly laughs that rock the theater for this high-octane, door-slamming comedy. When a fiery-tempered and world-famous Italian tenor passes out and can't play Othello, the high-strung opera impresario has his hapless assistant and a bevy of jealous, flirtatious, and starstruck wives girlfriends, and dowagers go into full-throttled mayhem. Sensation on Broadway, this nothing-but-funny knockout is guaranteed to leave audiences teary-eyed with laughter. La Mia Tenor continues its run through Sunday, November 13th at La Mirada for the Performing Arts Center, 14900 La Mirada Boulevard in La Mirada. Tickets range from $20 to $70 and can be purchased at LaMiradaTheater.com or by calling La Mirada Theater box office at 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310. Student, senior, children, and group discounts are available.
What a great show, and obviously with the Ovation Awards coming out, you see how great La Mirada does with so many of their productions.
Yes, indeed.
So another great venue we have here in Southern California. Hedwig and the Angry Inch rocks, the genre-bending, fourth-wall-smashing musical sensation with a pulsing score and an electrifying performance, tells the story of one of the most unique. Something cannot be the most unique. It either is unique or is not unique. Is that correct? We will change it. We will edit here on air. So tell
the
story of a unique character and one of the most fascinating to ever hit the stage. Directed by Tony Award winner Michael Mayer, Spring Awakening and American Idiot are among his other credits. The winner of four 2014 Tony Awards, including the Best Musical Revival, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, played to record-breaking sellout crowds on Broadway and promises to take Los Angeles by storm with what Time magazine proclaims is the most exciting rock score ever written for the theater since, oh, I don't know, ever, they say. Brilliantly innovative, heartbreakingly and wickedly funny, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is the landmark musical by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask that is groundbreaking and undoubtedly ahead of its time, says Entertainment Weekly. May be inappropriate for children under 12, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is recommended for mature audiences. Strong language is included, and adult themes are as well. Children under the age of 5 are not permitted in the theater. Hedwig and the Angry Inch runs 100 minutes with no intermission and is a non-stop thrill ride. The spectacular Lena Hall will appear in the role of Hedwig in the following performances on Sunday, November 6th at 6:30 p.m., Sunday, November 13th at 6:30 p.m., Sunday, November 20th also at 6:30 p.m., and Friday, November 25th at 8 p.m. Darren Criss will appear in the role of Hedwig on all remaining performances, with Lena Hall reprising her Tony-winning award performance as Yitzhak. How do you say that?
Yitzhak.
Yitzhak. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is now on stage through November 27th. For tickets, call 323-468-1770. Again, that number is 323-468-1770, or just visit HollywoodPantagiousTheater.com. Have you ever seen Hedwig, Michael?
I have not, and you know I was set to go to the opening last night, and I
didn't invite
had something
me.
Come up,
oh, okay.
And I couldn't go.
Well, I'm sorry you missed it, because, man, that score is a rock musical score.
Yeah.
You sit there in that theater, you can't help but tap your foot. It's a really amazing
I'm
piece.
I'm a fan of Darren Criss's. I think this kid has made remarkable stride in his career, having been one of the more important members of Glee, and marching right across the country to New York and opening on Broadway with no resistance from that
right.
community, and sticking there, you know, and doing this on Broadway and doing How to Succeed on Broadway.
Right.
So many different things. So I'm sorry that I missed his performance. I'll get there.
Well, and Lena's apparently amazing in the role.
Yes,
well,
she is.
One of the things you look at with Hedwig is how pivotal that was when that first came out. There was nobody else talking about these issues, but more than anything, there was nobody writing music like that. And I tell you, it did take Broadway by storm and certainly the nation thereafter. It's a hard production to do well, but mm-hmm. the Pantages always does such a fantastic job, so I'm sure it's another great one there. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to just go to that building and see a show.
That
it's
is so true. What a beautiful space.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is making his return to the theater stage in the critically acclaimed West Coast premiere of A Time to Kill, based on the John Grisham book and adapted for the stage by Rupert Holmes. His previous theater credits include Fill in the Blank by David Ives at the Blank Theater, The Sunshine Boys at La Mirada Civic Theater. On film, he has had leading roles in such films as The Inspectors and The Inspectors 2 with Louis Gossett Jr. and Jonathan Silverman. Audiences will also recognize him as Dothan Talbot, Rosanna Arquette's husband in the John Badham film Floating Away. Younger audiences know him as the star of the feature Big and Hairy and the hit Disney film Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, as well as National Lampoon's Golf Punks, in which he played Tom Arnold's put-upon brother. Television credits include guest starring roles in Modern Family, Jesse, that Disney show, Medium, Girlfriends, Veronica Mars, The X-Files, Outer Limits, Big Sound, Matlock, Beggars and Choosers, First Wave, Sliders, and it goes on and on. The Fearing Mind, and many, many others. He is married to uber-talented actress Heather Lee. Please welcome the man with the movie star good looks, and he is, I promise you, the one and only Gregory Thurlaway.
Thank you. I am the only Gregory Thurlaway in the world. Indeed. That's it.
Greg, thank you for joining us
today.
Oh,
thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, you've had an entire career already, man. What a massive amount of credits.
I had a good run there for a while.
Well, and you and I had a chance to talk a little bit before the show. I want to, if you don't mind, I want to let audiences behind the curtain a little bit. You took a break.
I did.
From a star's life and went and did what?
I became a landscape architect, and I have my own landscape design and build company.
And did some amazing work from what I've seen and heard.
Thank you. Yes, I've been very fortunate.
Was that the impetus for you leaving, or is that something that you left for a different reason?
No, the impetus for me leaving was the fact that I wasn't working. I had a great run. I had a fabulous run. And then I ran into a wall, and I was bored. I went back to school and studied art, and went to Art Center in Pasadena and studied environmental design. And my wife gave me a business card one day of somebody that said they wanted landscaping. People are always asking who did the landscaping in our house. Mm-hmm. And she said, these people need landscaping. And I said, honey, I have no idea how to do this professionally. So I called a friend of ours who had graduated from UCLA, and I said, I think I have a job if you want to do this together. And we did that. We got that job. And in the meantime, I went back to school and studied landscape architecture myself. And
how long?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And hung out a shingle on the internet, an internet shingle.
Started taking jobs.
And this was supposed to fill in the blanks during my acting career, just kind of augment, and became this thing, this behemoth thing. And it
how long were you away from acting?
8 years.
8 years. And then you got back into it by a phone call. Is that correct?
Yes. Out of the blue, I got called to do this top of show guest star on a TV show called Jesse. And I asked my, I said, first of all, to my agent, I said, I didn't even know you guys were still representing me. It's been a long time.
I think a lot of people have that feeling.
We hadn't signed contracts in years. So anyway, they said, yeah, sure. And I looked at they sent me the breakdown, and I'm looking at it. I said, I don't know anybody. There's no reason why they should be bringing me in. Anyway, I went in, I got the job. And then I got a Modern Family shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know, I miss this. And the business has gotten big enough. It did. So I went back to acting class. And I've been in acting class since the beginning of this year. And then some events occurred, and I was offered to do this, A Time to Kill. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal part. It's the Kevin Spacey role in the movie. And it's a huge role of the district attorney, and I loved it. And that's what I've been doing. It's been an amazing experience. I've never been in a small theater. We get standing ovations every night.
Really?
It's insane. It's insane.
Can you tell people the venue where you're performing at?
We're at Theater 68, which is at 5112 Lancashire Boulevard in the NoHo Arts District. Mm-hmm. It's the old Deaf West space. Mm-hmm. And they took the space, and they gutted it, and they put a brand new theater inside.
And this really is a fun space to see a theater as well. But this show, I don't know if people know this, this is a very traditional, fantastically written courtroom drama, correct?
Yes. It's a yes.
Very much in the style of, I think, Parade has a lot of these thematic elements and other shows like that, where you realize that you're seeing heartbreaking circumstances, but an amazing commentary on our legal system and what we value, right?
Yes. The colors are very clear as far as who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. But people are weeping every night. It's amazing at the end. And no one leaves the lobby. That's a phenomenal thing.
You're probably too afraid.
No one wants to leave at the end of the show. You know, they all, everybody just wants to hang out and talk about the show.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
It's definitely a conversation piece. When you're sitting there and you're talking about, as a father personally, I relate to this very
yes.
closely, and that you realize that if we don't take care of one another, if we don't start saying our laws need to be fair and just, and we need to start taking into consideration what exists in the world and how to eradicate some of these evils. As a father, I think about that every day now. I drop my kids off at school. I was telling Michael the story. I got a call from the school saying my child was absent from school when I knew I dropped them off and let her walk in. And they didn't. I didn't know which child it was. They both go to the same school. And the school calls and says, your child's absent from school today. I'm working. I'm on set through the valley. And I hopped in my car and flew back towards Malibu to go find out what had happened, because the fear is that your child's been grabbed.
Mm-hmm.
The fear is that something horrible has happened. And thank God in this circumstance it wasn't true. The adrenaline taste in my mouth was something that made me think that I never want this to happen again. And the show you're doing, A Time to Kill, is something that talks a lot about how we protect our children and how we take care of those who are younger in our society.
Yes, and it also addresses with the father role, the father who is avenging mm-hmm. the rape of his daughter, how he is treated in the system differently because he is an African American.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is not an act of passion when he murders the two young men that raped his daughter. It is actually, it's a premeditated act
mm-hmm.
of vengeance, and it's how we deal with that in the system.
It runs across racial lines, but the legal
yes.
lines are fascinating. Very much like in Atticus's role in To Kill a Mockingbird.
There's a lot of similarities
Isn't
between
there?
This and
yeah.
yes, a lot of similarities between this and To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's fascinating when you look at the laws we make and how we treat people, and do they actually help? Do they actually make things better in our society or not? So.
There's a wonderful comment by one of the characters said, it's a funny thing about this case, that justice will be done regardless of the outcome. Whether
right.
he's found guilty or whether mm-hmm. he's found innocent, justice will be done. It'll be the appropriate thing. And you basically have two well-crafted arguments for why he should be found guilty and why he should be found innocent. And these two arguments just go head-to-head against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some really... Rupert Holmes did a phenomenal job, excuse me, with adapting the
You're right.
bestseller.
He's a multi-talented
I know.
Man.
Musical Mystery of Edwin Drood, yeah. dude. And the Martin, what's his song? The song, he wrote a song.
I don't remember.
If you like piña colada,
oh, yeah.
that's Rupert Holmes.
Jimmy
Getting caught. No, he. I don't know who sang it, but he wrote the damn thing. I think
wow.
he recorded it too.
My goodness, I didn't know that.
Getting caught in the rain.
I thought. That
Hold
was
on,
a
now you sound.
I sound
we're
pretty
call
good now.
Here,
so sorry, pardon me.
Well, now this is interesting because A Time to Kill is a fascinating script with a lot of cool performances. Really, an amazing cast you have with you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you play the district attorney.
I play the part that Kevin Spacey
yeah.
played in
right.
the movie.
No pressure,
yeah.
man.
So, a tough guy.
A guy who is very clear about his goals and
mm-hmm.
his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's not a bad guy. He's just doing his job mm-hmm. yeah, with all his capabilities.
How much do you love playing that character?
I love playing. It's so well written and it's so fun. And initially, it was hard playing the bad guy because
mm-hmm.
I like getting laughs and being the good guy. But
those days are over.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Entered my 50s, and now it's all asshole.
And our iTunes rating skyrockets.
There we go.
You are so red. Right?
Yeah, I know. I realized I was about to say something. No,
we don't censor people here on the
okay,
show.
Okay, good. Then
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not
okay.
entirely true. We have ratings on iTunes. So
okay.
Yes.
Great.
But
tell
yes.
me, tell
yes.
me a little bit about how you ended up coming back into this and what the feelings were like. I know you got the phone call and you said, I want to get back into this with Jesse. And then did you go out and seek this role or did they come find you? And what was it like to step on stage for that first time after 8 years?
You know, I did a 24-hour play festival at James and Kevin's theater. The
NoHo Arts Center?
Cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
And the director of A Time to Kill directed this 15-minute
yes, right.
one act that James actually wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a three-person scene about a father who's discovers that night that his 17-year-old daughter is going to lose her virginity.
Hmm.
And it's between the father and the daughter and the young man she's going to lose her virginity with. And it was... the reception was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I got laughs. I was like, this is... freaking awesome. And Ronnie directed that, and he asked me from that. He said, I would love for you.
Ronnie Marmo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who is the, he created Theater 68.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And he directed it, and he asked me to be a part of this project. It's a theater company, so I'm acting as a guest member. And yeah, let's do this. This is great.
You sound excited.
It is. It's been nice. So fun. It's been. You know, like I said, I got.
We say the NoHo Arts Center, and we are all very sad that that is no longer going to be a theater, mm-hmm. and it is going to become a nightclub.
Hmm. Woohoo!
Of some sort.
Partay.
They say, yeah. As if we need another nightclub in that area. Yeah. Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Greg Thurloway today, talking about his show that he's currently on stage in, A Time to Kill. This is obviously an amazing piece of theater. It's a well-written piece of theater. How can people get tickets to go see this?
Go to plays411.com. And actually, if you enter a code I just got today, 410-410, you can get discount tickets for this weekend.
Fantastic.
Sweet.
Plays411.com.
And this plays through November 19th.
Yes.
With performances on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And Theater 68, you just said the, I think, the address.
5112 Lancashire Boulevard.
Yes.
Yes.
And the running time on this is 135 minutes, and general admission is $30. You cannot beat that.
A great deal. A great deal. And with that discount, what was the discount code again?
410.
410, and you can go to Plays 411 and type in 410, is that correct?
Right.
And you'll get a discount on tickets for this weekend. That's a great deal.
Yes,
it is.
But you've got to buy them online to get the discount. You can't get the discount at the window.
There you go.
Okay. So go online and reserve your seats now. We've had a chance to talk about so many amazing shows here today, obviously at A Noise Within, as well as at this current the current piece, Time to Kill. But there's something else that we can talk about, too, here. There are now 9 shows that I've seen over the last 2 weeks that are still currently playing. So you're in the sweet spot for theater right now in Los Angeles. There are tons of shows that are going up all over. And PerformingArtsLive.com is one of the greatest resources to go on there.
That's right.
Place 411 is another one. If you don't go see a show this weekend, you're really missing out, because this is the time to go see theater in Los Angeles.
Well, yes, before we see it on TV on Monday, Tuesday.
A good time to lock yourself up. And, Michael, you have a show opening this coming weekend. Is that correct?
I do.
Sterling's upstairs at the Fed.
Yes.
Did you forget about it? You're right. It's not this weekend, though, correct?
No. I didn't forget about it. And we had an amazing show last Sunday with John Lloyd Young, who created the role of Frankie Valli on Broadway in Jersey Boys. And it was his 17th consecutive headlining engagement for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
great.
And the audience, we invited them to come in costume. And his fans are pretty much all women and a few husbands that they drag to this thing. And I mean, they have to drag them because that's really not their thing.
I don't know. I enjoyed it an awful
lot. These women are of a certain age. And if they could bend over to get those panties off, they'd be throwing them on the stage. But they all came in these incredible costumes. They just outdid themselves.
Wow.
And this was, on the promise that whoever won the costume contest, and we had an impartial judge, and would have two comp seats at the next performance of John's coming up, whenever they wanted. And they would sit ringside. Now, these women fight for their seats. You know, it's serious business with these gals. But they're quite charming, and we have a couple problems with some of them because they still think they're teenagers, and they're not. Yeah, but I dressed up.
As?
Yes. I don't know.
Say you went as Andrew David James. Did you go as me?
I did not. Oh, I did not. But I, John Lloyd Young called me and he said, you know what? You're going to dress up, right? And I said, yeah. And I think I should. It's Halloween and I have to have some suggestion of it.
Right.
He said, I've got a perfect costume for you. And I said, what? And he said, it's a cheeseburger. And I said, what? He said, I actually bought it for a kid, but it's so big, you could wear it. He said, you could wear it over your suit. I said, John, what are you talking about? I said, the only way I'd even consider it is I want to see a picture of you in it. You text it to me, I'll make a decision. And he did. And it looked like a person wearing a cheeseburger, and it was a cheesy costume. I mean, it was really...
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, and I said, and I wrote him back, I said, dude, no, I'm not doing that, but I'll do something. So you know what I did? I did what I could. I
came as a Monte Cristo.
That'll teach them.
Kind of, sort of. No, I sprayed my hair like silver.
Okay.
And got very tan. And went. I had a suit on, but it was like a double-breasted black coat. And then I had no shirt on underneath there. And then I had a bow tie.
Very Chippendales.
Right. Well, that's exactly what John Lloyd Young said. He said, oh, nice. Chippendales.
So. Made more off of tips than on the show. That's amazing.
Did get a few.
Now, when does the amazing Miss Marino open at your space?
Renee Marino, who played Mr. Lloyd Young's wife in the motion picture of Jersey Boys, mm-hmm. opens this coming Monday.
That's the 7th, is
the
that
7th.
Correct?
Yeah.
Another great show to go
yeah,
see.
Yeah, we're very excited to have
We have seen a lot of theater in these past couple of weeks.
I know.
So many quality productions out there. You know, we always tell people, like you always say, Michael, put down that TV remote, put down yep. your cell phone, go out and see people telling you a story. It's one of the best things you can do yeah. for yourself and for your children. Agreed. If we don't do that, then we're not doing our job.
You bet. So I think it's that time. Is it?
And now, embarrassing moments.
As our guests cower under the table in fear. Guys, we do something on the show where we ask people to tell us something that's happened in their live or on film performing career that has embarrassed them to the point where they almost quit. So much so that the younger wow. performers who haven't had that happen yet can say, I can get through whatever happens to me. Do either of you have an example that pops up?
Well, I you know, I had one that I was thinking about, but I think I have a better one.
Uh-oh.
Yes, which is maybe why my career has been in the theater and not in film. One of the first films I did, I have a memory, it came back to me as I was sitting here, of wearing nothing but pancakes on my body. Yes, and I was surprising my husband in the morning, lying on a shelf covered in just pancakes and dripping syrup on myself.
This is an at-home story.
No, this is not. This is on set. This is a professional job.
Are there any stills available?
I don't think there are. But
Abby,
I think
was this not your audition for Tom Stoppard's Arcadia?
And this is why I do classical theater.
Right. So you have pancakes sitting all over your body.
No, just covering certain parts of my body.
My.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was a seduction.
And what was the production?
It was called Flamingo Dreams. It was actually a really funny film, and I don't even know if it ever got finished. But, that was my part, and I thought, I wonder if this is how I really want my career to be going.
Were you intimidated to do it?
I was. I was kind of mortified, actually. But, you know.
Because, when you see it in movies, people often forget, there's like 18 people
right.
watching
That's right.
you on
yeah.
set doing
No, I
this.
Think it was more like the placing the pancakes on the body, making sure everything was on correctly, and then lying there in the cold with the pancakes on.
Oh, my God.
Wow. With the cold pancakes.
Were they gluten-free?
I don't think they were gluten-free, no. I think they were full of sugar and wheat and fat.
As long as there's no syrup on them, at least it's an easier cleanup. But what a joy to then leave from that and go dig into Tom Stoppard. That's a really nice transition.
It took a lot of years, but I think I've come up in the world, not gone down.
So. Do not get your costumes confused. And put the pancakes
That's
on for
right.
this weekend's
that would be
performance.
Terrible.
That's right.
Greg, do you have anything for us?
Oh, gosh. I have so many embarrassing things that have happened in my life.
Any today? Anything that's happened today?
Not. I guess one of the years ago, I was on a show called The Commish.
Oh, I love The Commish.
That.
Michael
yeah.
Chiklis. Yeah, of course.
I wasn't going to say his name. But anyways, the star of the show and I got in a fist fight.
Oh, my.
Yes. As a result of a miscommunication.
Wow.
And this was 4 days into a shoot. And we were separated by the third AD and the director.
Whoa.
And he fired me. He fired me right there off the set.
Wow.
And
the
I
star
walked
himself.
The star, who I'm not going to mention.
Right.
Well, the star of Commish.
Right. Well, I'm not going to mention.
Well.
Yeah. So
Google it.
And then I went to the first AD and I said, I just want to be clear that I have been fired from the set. And he said, no, you have not been fired. You know, the
wow.
star cannot fire you because he's not a producer.
Wow.
And so I went back to my set and was there for 4 hours. While they try to talk him back out of his trailer
Whoa.
So he can finish the shoot. For the next 3 days, no one would talk to me on the set.
Oh, my.
Including him.
Wow.
And we had to shoot all of our shots individually because he wouldn't work with me anymore.
Wow.
So they had somebody else reading his part off camera. So everything became a one shot.
So you had no masters. Oh, my.
We didn't
goodness.
Do any more masters after
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What possibly provoked this? Oh, can you say?
Greg refused to wear pants on set.
It was a misunderstanding about where I should have been on the set.
Wow.
At that time, and I was supposed to apologize for this, and I said, I didn't do this. This was somebody else. I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't do.
Oh, my goodness.
And the director actually came to me and pleading with me to talk, to apologize, because the star, who I won't name, would not come out of his trailer.
I'm getting ready to.
Yes. and finally, he did come out of his trailer, and he overhears me having this argument with the director, and he said, you must having effing balls of brass.
Oh, my goodness.
And he jumped it. And that was it.
Wow. Well, I got to say, it's probably good that that certain star you fought at that time before he went and got all buffed up for his next role that he went into on The Shield. So well done, my friend. You don't want it. You want to, when he's soft and squishy, that's probably better.
Well,
so.
I was benching 275 at the time, but whatever.
Wow. Well, that, I tell you, that is one we've never had on the show before.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah.
We thought we had one that was topping everybody.
We had a couple of great stories. Yeah.
One of them being an actor who in the midst of a play in a big theater, was in a bodysuit.
Full body costume.
Full body costume, and a rat was inside.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was going all over him, and he never left the stage. He did the performance with this thing until he could get off stage.
Wow. But aren't we crazy and committed?
Yeah. I know, right? And the things that happen in a career, over the span of a career.
Boy, we have come to the end of this program, ladies and gentlemen. What a pleasure to have you, Abby, and
thank
to have you.
This
has been fun.
Thank you both. It was great to see you. And obviously, to our audiences, get out there and see A Time to Kill. And please go see Noise Within's production of Arcadia.
Yeah,
you won't be
absolutely
disappointed with either.
Their whole
of these
season
shows.
Is great.
I'm going on the 20th.
Sounds great.
Are you?
Absolutely.
You.
Well, I'm going to go see her closing performance.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Lovely.
Michael, it was great to see you for
Thank
a little bit
you,
today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.